Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining us today. This is Doug with Online for Offline. George is with me, as is Dave Lee from Infusionsoft, who's the Vice President of Marketing there. Infusionsoft is a world-class leader in marketing automation software. They work with small businesses from two to 100 employees at this point. Great package. He's going to have some great information to share with us today. And Dave's background is similar to mine. He's owned a software company in the past and has an entrepreneur drive, and Infusionsoft sounds like it's been a really good fit for him, being able to work with entrepreneurs and business owners on a day-to-day basis. A great place to be. Well, I kind of just roughed over that, Dave. Is there anything you'd like to, else you'd like to tell us about your background and Infusionsoft there before we jump
into
things?
Sure, yeah. Let me just mention a couple things so people have a feel for where I'm coming from. I've been on the net, on the internet, playing around since 1987, signed up with a Prodigy account, you know, before ISPs even existed, had a Prodigy account, and I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area at the time, and would basically spend about 45 minutes each night downloading the Lake Tahoe ski report, because that's how long it took to download, you know, two paragraphs of text back then. But I've lived on the internet doing web-based software, now called SaaS, or Software as a Service, and absolutely loving it. When I'm not cranking away on building Infusionsoft and helping our customers, I'm with my family or I'm skiing. Love to ski, so that's me. Did you ask background on company, kind of what's going on?
Well, go ahead and give us an overview. I know a bit of it, and I kind of know where, with Infusionsoft, it started out that Clayt is the owner, isn't it? Clayt Mask?
Three founders. One of them we keep in the back closet coding away every day, so we don't let him out of his cage. But that's Eric Martineau. Scott Martineau and Clayt Mask are founders. They are polar opposites. One is extremely tactical and pragmatic. He's the manager of the business. He's our CEO, Clayt Mask. And then there's Scott Martineau, who is the complete opposite, always challenging us on, you know, stop telling me no. How do we actually get this done? And really pushing the boundaries of what we're doing and who we're offering what we do to, and getting in the hands of to as many small businesses as possible. We started out 2001 as a custom software development shop. And for those that know that world or have been there or are there, I'm sorry. I know how difficult it is. I understand the challenges around that. And, you know, it was really bad back then. Trying to make payroll every other week, and just, you know, it was just very, very difficult with three, four, five guys trying to start this business. And they one day got a call from somebody who just blurted out, you know, I have pain, can you help me? And it kind of went from there, and they ended up creating a product that helped this guy. This guy happened to be a small business coach. He was an unbelievable both online and offline marketer, and he was coaching small businesses on how to market better and grow their business, and couldn't find a tool or a tool set that would help them do what he wanted them to do. So we, with him, built this software, and we kind of grew up in this whole crazy world of online, offline, direct response marketing.
That's great. Yeah, I understand where they're coming from. I had a custom software company back, I started in 97, and we went the product route ourselves. That was the best way to go for us as well.
Oh, yeah.
Ended up retiring from that company after we sold our software to Albertsons. They've got the pharmacy management system.
Oh, yeah.
It's all
yeah.
the Albertsons and American stores nationwide. That's the software that we did. Worked on that for several years, so yeah, that's a great way to go. And so many small businesses get buried under, you know, they lose sales because of not being able to connect with the people, keeping the follow up going, And, you know, they just aren't able to do it because they're too busy doing the, you know, doing the day-to-day stuff. So it's great that these guys found a way to put a package together to help people with that. What?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that that's what they kept finding when they would go into these small businesses here locally in Phoenix, Arizona. What they found was all these small businesses wanted a system to help track their customers and all the prospects, and they needed more than what the contact managers out there were giving them, you know, more than using Excel spreadsheets, more than using ACT or contact management database. But they didn't want to make the full jump up to a huge, big CRM, you know, customer relationship management software system, because they knew that these were not built for entrepreneurs or for small businesses. They were dumbed down big systems, you know, built or architected decades ago sometimes for Fortune 500 companies. And that does not work for companies that have, you know, 2 to 100 employees. So they work diligently to pull this thing together and recognize that, hey, there are a lot of small businesses out there that want to become better marketers. They don't want to manage their data better. They don't want to just kind of, you know, they're not satisfied with 5, 10, 20% growth year over year. They want to grow really fast. And so they built Infusionsoft with that in mind.
That's great. Yeah, I'd say most of those monolithic applications that are out there were designed as much for the sales managers to track what their salespeople were doing, probably even more so than to actually help the salespeople make their sales. That's a big corporate system.
That is so true. I don't know many sales reps. I have a lot of sales friends, and they dread having to use their CRM system to keep track of their pipeline and lead flow and all that stuff. And it's funny, the small businesses that we work with, and we work with, you know, tens of thousands of them, there are not many of them that want or need a Salesforce automation component. It's like, wait a minute, it's me, my spouse, my nephew, and my friend, and that's it. We don't need a system to do sales management. We need something to help us market this sucker.
I can ask Dave how he's doing with his prospects. I don't need to be looking at some report. Before we let Dave dive in, did you have any questions for him, George, or do you want to save those towards the end? I'll take that as a no. We'll go ahead and let Dave, do you want to go ahead and jump into your go ahead and let's go ahead and slide into your presentation here. I know you've got some great information to share with us. The background has been great. Really, really good information here, and a little bit more about what the needs are for your market. So, and that's our market. So let's go ahead and get started.
Great. All right. I usually do it for an hour and a half. So I've really trimmed this down to give everybody just hopefully the cream of the cream here, and talk about, you know, the pains that everybody's going through. And I know that everybody's going through them as you're trying to grow your small business. And I used to be a small business owner, just like you, Doug, and was trying to run a software company. And it was really hard to do that. I didn't really have a whole lot of help, and there weren't a lot of tools out there to help me do it. And I really struggled and ultimately failed at doing that. And, you know, I've done a number of things, both with big businesses and small businesses, and our passion really lies in helping small businesses and grow quickly. And most business owners, small business owners, hate to be called small businesses. I used to be, I'd be so mad when somebody said, oh, so you own a small business. No! No, this is
$5 million a year.
Yeah. So that would really tick me off. And so I like to be called an entrepreneur, and I think that's what the most people out there that have a company with, you know, 2 to 50, 100 employees, they see themselves as entrepreneurs, and they want to grow quickly. And the problem is they run into a bunch of problems. And the biggest problems that I see in entrepreneurial businesses is that they have a really difficult time understanding the difference between advertising and lead gen or follow-up marketing. And I'll explain that in a bit. What happens is you get a service or product, and what happens, start of the month, you're like, okay, finished last month, got my sales. My list of prospects has dwindled down to nothing or very few. Oh, crap, I got to go advertise. And then you go out and advertise, and you do a big old campaign on, you know, Google AdWords, or you do direct mail or door hangers or radio, whatever you do, whatever form of advertising, you go crazy and you spend a bunch of money. And it's one-step advertising. You're just advertising to get them to buy your product or service immediately. And then you get a big, you know, a decent response, and you work those people, and then before you know it, your well is dry, and you've got to go scramble again to do more advertising. And this we see over and over and over again in small businesses, and it's crippling because, number one, they're overspending. Number two, they are not converting nearly as many of those leads or prospects as they could. And three, they end up it just creates a nightmare in the business. And then another problem that we see is folks that are generating leads and they're getting interest, people that are interested in the business, they come in, but 99.6% of the time, they do a terrible job following up with those prospects, leads, whatever you want to call them, potentials. And this is a disease that plagues virtually every small business that I've ever worked with, that I've talked to, spoken with, consulted, coached, and it is a utter lack of consistent follow-up. And I would submit I could take any small business in the world, and if I had them and helped them focus on nothing else than following up more effectively, I could double their sales or more. And I'll talk about a case study that we're doing right now with a client that won a contest of ours and give you some details behind that. But that one problem, lack of consistent follow-up, is a terrible problem. And it exists in every small business. We all know that we're terrible at doing it. And if people are getting defensive right now, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. We're just not wired to follow up effectively. And it's because we're too busy chasing the shiny fist, chasing the dollars, chasing the quid for our UK folks on the line. We're going after quick sales, getting the deals done, and who in their crazy world would want to spend the time to try and keep in touch with the people that are difficult to get a hold of or haven't responded, you know, repeatedly to your calls to action. And so those aren't the fun people to work with. But that's a problem. There's a huge gold mine sitting there with the people who have responded, but we're just not following up with. Then the other problem we get into is just keeping track of everything. The smart thing to do nowadays, and thank goodness the internet has come along so quickly and has really enabled us to do so many things from a marketing perspective, I see a lot of small businesses doing a lot of different, they've got a lot of little marketing engines going on at the same time, simultaneous marketing and advertising. And so they've got, you know, their newspaper, their magazine, they've got their, you know, print and direct mail, they've got SEO efforts, they've got pay-per-click efforts going on, they're getting into social marketing and social media, and they're creating really cool videos that then drive people to their website. And so they've got simultaneous things going on, but they're not collecting all of that interest and leads and prospects into one centralized system. And what ends up happening is the small business ends up, as they become more and more successful, they adopt more and more systems, software systems, databases, or whatever, to manage all the chaos. And they end up with even more chaos because none of these systems, you know, email autoresponders, shopping cart systems, contact managers, affiliate and referral marketing systems, and on and on and on, none of these things talk to each other. And if you want to get something that talks to each other, you most small businesses and entrepreneurs aren't ready to plop down, you know, five figures, six figures to get something like that. So they end up with a lot of chaos and frustration. And that's why that guy called us in the first place back in 2003 with the I Have Pain, Can You Help Me? Because he had 18 different databases. He was a great marketer, but he just had utter chaos in his business, and he was having a hard time growing because of that. So those are a lot of the problems that we see now, and there's a lot of solutions out there. You know, there's CRM, and I would venture to say that for the most part, CRM software has failed entrepreneurs. It has failed small business. I'd submit that that technology was built 2-3 decades ago for big business and does not apply to today's quick growth online and or offline based small business entrepreneurial group. These small businesses don't have teams of 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 sales reps. It's me, and I'm managing the whole thing, and I don't need that type of a software. Contact managers, static data repositories that don't really do anything for you. And so the solution to the problems, the solution that we have recognized and have helped come up with is, number one, it's got to be marketing-minded. It's got to be – marketing has to be at the core of it. And you hear about things like Sales 2.0. That you peel all the explanations away and all the fluff and stuff, at the heart of Sales 2.0, it's marketing. It's enabling sales-minded people with marketing tools and educating prospects automatically and so on so that they eventually become a customer or a patient or whatever. So that's one thing that we've seen. And another is, you know, small businesses need more than just these static data repositories. They need something very different. We've got this crazy internet that's enabling us with e-commerce and online billing, automated billing, autoresponders, and all this stuff. And when you bring that into one system, all of a sudden you've got incredible power. When you have all of your prospect information flowing into one system, regardless of whether the advertising was done online or offline, but all those leads and interests are flowing into one system, and it's automatically tagging them and segmenting them so that you can do very specific follow-up and offers, all of a sudden you have a power that your competitors do not have and have not even thought of. Then if you expand that out into wrapping e-commerce and your ordering and transactions into one database, now you have crazy, insane power and capabilities. And you can say, all right, I want to do a special promotion, and I want it to go to people who have attended at least two of my events, a teleseminar or a webinar, or they've downloaded a podcast or whatever, and they've purchased product X from me, and they've got blue eyes, and they live in this postal code or zip code. When you have order information, prospect information, customer behavior, and you've got kind of this tripwire marketing system running for you automatically, it's insane the things that you can do and how targeted you can get with your message and the audience that you're sending it to. So that's one solution is you've got to consolidate all this different stuff into one database because it enables you to do tremendous things with your business and grow very quickly. there's the whole issue of online and offline marketing and capturing everything in one place. I'm sure many of you on this are hearing this are aware of email autoresponders and use those extensively, or may have web forms, you know, lead capture forms on your websites that are typically being emailed to you, and most people don't do anything with those. But when those funnel into a system, but then automated follow-up happens, it becomes very magical. And that is, I would say that is the key to small business success, is identifying the areas in your business where you've got follow-up failure. It could be on the front end where you're doing advertising and collecting leads. It could be once somebody purchases your product or service, you've got follow-up failure, making sure that they are happy with the product or service. Maybe you've got follow-up failure when you're trying to do upsells and expand the relationship with the customer. Maybe you've got follow-up failure when it comes to collecting the cash. And, you know, with e-commerce nowadays and, you know, PayPal and other things, you've got automated billing, credit card charging and billing and accounts, you know, sucking money out of accounts. All that can be automated, but when things fail, when a credit card fails, what typically happens? And this is what puts a lot of small businesses out of business, is they can be very good marketers, they can have a great prospect base, a lot of customers, doing real well on the sales side, but have a terrible time and be terrible at actually collecting the cash. When credit cards fail, what happens? Most people just kind of let it go and write it off. But I've got a lot of, you know, professional friends and, you know, dentistry and things like that, and that can just wipe them out, where they're making the sales, but actually getting cash into the account and getting people to pay, having cards run, people submit checks, that can be really difficult. So when that happens, what is your follow-up procedure? So that you do collect the cash, so that you remind the customer, hey, your credit card failed, need to get a new card from you, your check didn't go through, whatever it is, that collections process can be fully automated, and that follow-up should be put in place. So let me tell you about a few people that I know they've looked at their follow-up failure in their small business, and they've corrected it, and they've put tools in place to harness the power of the internet to capture both their online and offline marketing and then follow up with all these prospects. And the people that do a lot of internet marketing, this is probably one of their greatest weaknesses, unfortunately, and that is not using offline techniques and using direct mail and postcards and things like that, because there's a whole nother, you know, set of revenue that can be captured there, and conversion rates can be increased by doing that. And usually it's a kind of a turn and burn type situation where you do AdWords or SEO and you're driving people to purchase your product, and you're not collecting names. You're just trying to collect sales. And there is tremendous value in building a list, of people that have raised their hand and said, yes, I am interested in your product or service. I'm not ready to buy yet, but please, you know, educate me over time. Send me your white papers. Send me your information. Follow up with me. And the sad part is, if you take a pool of responders to an advertisement or something, you'll have a very low conversion rate. But had you offered something of value that was free, your conversion rate would skyrocket. You'd still get the same conversion rate of people that would buy your product or service, but now you've got this big list of people that express some interest. Now you follow up with those people, and all of a sudden your conversion rate skyrocket.
That's really part of our mantra, and especially George's mantra on, you know, building that, getting that conversation started and meeting the people where they are in the conversation. So often when people go online, and especially when you're talking using AdWords as the initial delivery method, but even other methods of getting them in is they need to be educated. They need to be moved down that thought process, that search continuum is the, I think Glenn Livingston uses that phrase, but move them from strictly a research phase to a buying phase. You need to be able to catch people wherever they're at. If they're ready to buy, they can buy right then. If they want to collect some information, they can. And that's very much our mantra on getting people into the funnel. And you guys just take, you're taking it even a step further than what we've talked about in the past. So, sorry to interrupt there. I just wanted to say that you're speaking our language.
Good. I'm glad I am, that people understand that. And, you know, there's a great chap. His name's Dan Bradbury. He's over in the UK. He does NLP stuff. He's a business coach and consultant. And he was doing a lot of online stuff and same thing. Quick education, quick sale, very little follow-up, very little list building is what I like to call it. And when he realized the value in creating your list and then following up with those that list, because it's a lot easier to sell to those people than it is to sell a raw advertisement to a bunch of eyeballs that are viewing a magazine or an AdWords ad or anything like that. These people are, they've already opted in. They've opted in to receive information from you. And so Dan executed a bunch of this stuff and fixed his follow-up failure. And now he's, you know, consistently and automatically following up with every single prospect, lead, customer, canceled customer. And in a very short period of time, he grew his list from a few hundred contacts to over 70,000. And that's, yeah, just incredible. I mean, he's a really go-get-em type guy and has done very, very well. And that's simply by just fixing that problem of not collecting the prospect information, people that are interested. They're not ready to buy yet, but just capturing information and then following up with them. So there's a guy over here, not sure if many of you are aware of him, Dan Kennedy. Great direct response marketer. He preaches that, you know, that list, the customer and prospect list, is the number one overlooked asset in any business today. And I agree with him. I mean, I could probably go into any small business and look at that. The first thing I'd look at is show me your prospect and customer list, because I can do virtually anything with that. I can create any business out of that. Mm-hmm. Another guy, and this one's interesting. His name is Sean Greeley. Really interesting guy who has a business where without a big staff of people, without a bunch of effort, you know, he set it up on the front end and then just everything's on autopilot. He runs over 90 different marketing campaigns or follow-up sequences simultaneously. They just run throughout every day, every month, every year. They just run automatically. And so what he's done is a great job in segmenting his list of prospects and customers so that each of them are getting both personalized but very targeted messages and upsells and educational material to progress them to the sale or the repeat sale or to become an even better customer. And without the internet, without tools that we have today, trying to run 90 different multi-step marketing sequences or campaigns or drip systems, whatever you want to call them, would be impossible. So thank goodness for the internet.
Oh, certainly. It with the tools possible today, it makes it so much easier to follow up on those people that are going to take 3 months, 6 months to make a decision. You know, we couldn't possibly do that before with the tools we have. And you couldn't afford to do it strictly offline. I mean, depending on the market. You know, some markets you could, but in most markets you just couldn't afford to keep following up with them until they finally bought. With autoresponders and in email steps, we can. I want to talk a little bit about, that's probably the integrating the online and offline stuff is probably one of the most difficult things for a lot of people to grasp, and how they would do that. I don't know if you've had experience with, do you have some examples of good success for people driving people online with offline techniques?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
The most successful way to do it is in every offline piece that you do, you need to make it as easy as possible for people to respond. So allow them to fax in a response form, allow them to call in, or allow them to go to a landing page or a squeeze page. And, you know, some dedicated page on your site that, I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but just to be clear, it's got to be the landing page can't have crazy navigation. It should be very simple. It should have the same look and feel of the advertisement, and it has to have an opt-in form on it. And so when you do your offline marketing, it should never be a direct, a one-stepper. It should never be to buy the product or service. You should always try and offer them a free report, a free analysis, a free whatever it is, free consultation, a white paper. And the whole purpose is to drive them to a landing page and capture their contact info. Because once you have that and it's segmented and tagged and everything, you can then follow up with them and educate them and drive them to the sale over time. And nobody likes to be, you know, sold to, but people really like to buy stuff. And so if you can position yourself as that trusted advisor by using this technique, then your sales skyrocket. So the technique that I've seen be very effective is, you know, newspaper, magazine, print, whatever type of print, direct mail, door hangers, whatever, drive them to a landing page and use that kind of free report type concept to capture the lead information, the contact info, and then follow up with them automatically.
That's was consulting with a local print shop here in Billington,
yep.
Local Alpha Graphics, and what we did is that was a hard sell for a lot of the businesses here to explain that to them. It's such a stretch for them to really understand that. But the ones that got it did very, very well, and
yeah.
we used. Pearl campaigns, personalized URLs.
Yep.
I don't know if
I'm
sure you've bumped into those. And those are for those. Yeah, when we ended up getting with a multi-step campaign we did, we ended up getting a 37.7% response rate, which was just people that have listened to several of these calls probably get tired of hearing about it because one of my first calls, the gentleman made me talk through that campaign quite a bit, but.
I've got a great example along those same lines. Ronnie over at Acquire, same stuff, online, offline advertising, driving to a landing page or squeeze page. Their contact list, their list grew by 300%. And during between middle of 07 and middle of 08, 576% increase in sales because they're using that technique and then following up with the people that were opting into their list. Very simple to do.
Yeah, very, very, and it's very powerful. Because people want to, because we're able to do it less expensively, and we can multi-step it with some online and some offline. That's one of the powerful things about your system is we can, you know, it's one thing to shove people into an autoresponder sequence and follow up just online. I mean, that's actually that's not that difficult to do. But being able to track an offline and online sequence is one of the really, really powerful pieces, and all the other things going on, that's one of the really powerful pieces of your package, your software package.
Yeah. Let me paint a quick picture. We just got back from a four-city tour where we went to L.A., Chicago, New York, and Orlando, Florida, back-to-back. It was a Monday through Thursday thing, and we were doing heavy advertising to our list, to lists of our affiliates and partners. And the thing about events is if you go through that effort, you want to make sure that those back ends are sitting in seats at those events. And so if you've got an event or something, you want to make sure that you're following up heavily and reminding those people to get in to actually attend the event. So we built out, it was probably a 7-step reminder sequence that included email reminders, it included direct mail, postcard, it included fax reminders, and it included a voice broadcast that we decided to do almost at the last minute. And this all went out automatically to the list of people that had opted into this event. And I had multiple people come up and tell me and others within our organization, hey, I wasn't going to go, but when I got that voice broadcast, that which is a pre-recorded voice message, sent to me, reminding me about the event and how awesome it was going to be, and I felt that, you know, connection all of a sudden. I changed my plans, and I came, and here I am. And so to use, people respond differently to different types of media, fax, direct mail, email, voice, live phone call. So you need to, not only should you be following up consistently and effectively, but you need to use different types of media. I mean, it's easy to use just email, but with today's, you know, email deliverability rates, industry average right now, I think, is 53-54% of all emails actually hit the inbox. We immediately lose almost half of potential buyers. We get better deliverability than that over here at ImpedanceSoft, but that's industry average right now. That's pretty bad.
That is bad, and that's why more and more marketers are going to text and to voice broadcast.
SMS.
I mean,
yep.
And the text I'm seeing, that's the market that's gonna. I think that's gonna be the market that's gonna grow the most. I mean, you look at these teenagers, and I mean, they're sending. The statistic was something. It was over 1,000 texts a month. The average 17-year-old was sending, or something like that.
Yeah,
and you know. Yeah, you know, and I live in this world, and I live in the email world, but I'm amazed at how much texting kids do. And I was consulting with a local university, and we're talking about using Pearls and online and email, and they said, you know, their problem was that they couldn't even get students to open emails anymore because they had to send them texts.
Right.
I was just like, wow. I mean, the world is definitely changing. George, did you have some questions for Dave? I can kind of just dumping this on you, but we've got 7 minutes left. I have a couple of questions to ask, but I wanted to give George a chance to jump in. Go ahead.
Well, I don't have any questions specifically, but I've just got a few things I'd like to add. I think most businesses don't realize how important follow-up is. As an AdWords guy, I'm always focusing on cost per click and getting leads generated for businesses. And it's always true, as in the business that can afford to pay most for a click always wins. And what a lot of businesses don't realize is that by following up with prospects and then following up with buyers to sell to them again and again, they build the lifetime value of their customer. And they end up with an average lifetime value of their customer being much, much higher than their competitors. And so they can afford to pay 2, 3, 4 times more for a click of advertising space or direct mail campaigns than their competitors. And their competitors try and compete at that level, but because they don't have the back-end follow-up system and they don't squeeze as much value out of every customer, they always lose out. And that's how people come in and dominate markets. And most small businesses don't really realize that. So I think that just adds to the argument to follow up with prospects and customers and after the sale as well, which is very important.
Yeah, George, that is a great comment. We had a contest over here at InfusionSoft, and we picked one winner, and the winner got to use our software for free for a year, and we told them, we promised them that we would double their sales within 3 months. We picked a business, it's called All About Spelling, and the 3 months ends next Tuesday. And I can confidently tell you that without doing any new lead generation or advertising, we have more than doubled their sales within 3 months, and it's simply from fixing their follow-up failure.
Yeah, and that's what most small businesses don't realize. They tend to turn to external marketing and advertising before they really utilize their current database of leads and prospects.
Yeah, there's a lot of value locked up right now in everybody's list of customers and prospects.
Yeah, and I think something very powerful I just want to comment on quickly, because I've seen some of my clients absolutely fly with this, is that you use online marketing like pay-per-click or SEO or social networking to get leads, and then just pull that lead offline and follow up with telesales and SMS and direct mail. And there is a common pattern in my clients. My clients that are making six figures a month are the ones that are incorporating all the modalities of marketing online and offline. And that's not a fluke, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're about 3 minutes here, and I had a couple of questions, and one's kind of I'll throw you a softball here. How many steps should you have in a follow-up sequence, Dave?
You know, that's a tough question. I've seen simple one-step autoresponder emails. Mm-hmm. I've also seen the biggest sequence that I've seen was 228 steps. And it went on throughout the year. People got multiple emails, direct mail, faxes, voice broadcasts per week. And that was pretty intense. I would recommend when you're doing lead gen that you know, somebody's opting in for the first time and that you're delivering them a free report or a white paper or an analysis or something, whatever it may be, an advisory, that you deliver that via email. Deliver it via direct mail if you can afford to do that, and I'd advise you to do that. So that's two steps right there. Then I'd have probably two or three follow-up steps via email and then a phone call, somebody in the office providing a live phone call, just verifying that they received the advisory or the report. And so something like that, a brand new prospect, you know, five steps. Customers, a lot more than that. Those are the easiest people to sell to, your existing customers. They're predisposed to do business with you again. They know you, and you need to be following up with them every single month. You've got to have at least a monthly communication or a quarterly newsletter or something just to stay in touch with them. To give you an example of our kind of funnel in education, when somebody opts in, we have kind of a four or five stepper. If they don't respond as a new prospect, then we dump them into a pure value-add 7-week email series that educates them about small business growth and being an entrepreneur. If they still don't respond, they go into our 52-week follow-up sequence, long-term follow-up sequence. Again, pure value, no real call to action, no drive to buy. And so we our mentality is, you follow up until they buy or they die.
Yeah. It's, you know, that was gonna be my short response. You know, until they buy.
Yeah.
how many steps until they buy? No, until it no longer makes economic sense to continue doing it. You know, kind of the short
Absolutely.
Answer to that.
Right.
Yeah. Now we've only got 1 minute remaining here. This might be a little difficult to do in our 1 minute here. Do you have three quick action steps you could give people to kind of get them started in learning
yeah.
to use multi-step sequences?
Yeah, number one, stop watching the news. Get your mind out of all the crap that's going on in the world, all the terrible stuff. Get out of that and concentrate on what you can do better for your business and how you can give back to your community, your family. You need to collect all your stuff in one place. You need to centralize all your leads and prospects into one database. There's value already in your business. Follow up with what you got right now, and you'll get more business in a tough economy. And then three is focus on that lead gen marketing versus just advertising and overspending every month. Focus on capturing leads, following up with them.
We're about to get cut off. Well, I really appreciate your time, Dave, and now we're getting cut off right now.
All right.
Let's see. We may. It says show is on, but not streaming. But we'll go ahead and cut things off. I know we're not being recorded. Dave, this was a great call. I mean, George and I were texting each other going, yep, I think I'll be going out and buying Infusionsoft.
It's good stuff. We have a lot of fun, and I get an absolute thrill and satisfaction out of seeing what it really does for our customers. And we're a very transparent company. We don't like to hide things, and we like to involve our customers heavily in what we do. And we launched a 22-city tour this year where we go out to 22 cities nationwide in the U.S., and we're just sitting down for a day with our customers and training them for free and talking about what's coming down and seeing what they're going through. And it's funny, with today's economy, most of our customers are just eating it up because they're seeing their competitors fall off and not market and not advertise and pull back. And so they're seeing this as an opportunity to really gobble up market share. It sounds like your crowd is the same way. These guys are heavily investing in marketing. They see the value of marketing, and it's perfect fit. Beautiful.
It definitely is.
It's the right mindset.
I'm a Dan. I'm a GKAC guy, so I'm a big Dan Kennedy fan.
Okay.
So.
Yep.
As does George, and we met at a Perry Marshall coaching club last year. That's when we first met.
Oh, okay.
Started working together. So, and Perry's a Dan Kennedy guy all the way. So.
Yeah, Perry's a stud. Perry's a great guy. Yeah. I think he's got an event coming up, a bigger event in the next week or two. I think. I remember you saying something about it.
Yeah, he's got an autoresponder event coming up, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he actually has copywriters there who will write your sales page and your autoresponder sequence. There's like 2 days on autoresponder and 1 day on sales page. It's like $7,000. $7,000. I mean, she'd spend that much on a copywriter.
I know.
This is not for both. I mean, you can get a sales page. You can get a really good sales page for $5,000. You can't get sales page and autoresponder for both.
I was going to ask you a couple of questions about Infusion, because I've not really experienced Infusion. Here in the UK, CRM is awful. I mean, there's Axel, there's Goldmine, and that's it. And most businesses in the UK are still in awe of autoresponders. I mean, if you tell someone about AWeber, it's like, it's just incredible.
Black magic.
Behind over here in the UK. Yeah, it's like black magic. It really is.
Well, autoresponders are black magic to a lot of people that I consult with. I mean, just explaining an autoresponder to them, they look at me like, wow, you can do that? I'm like, yeah.
I mean, there are some things I want to clarify. In Infusion is, how does this merge with direct mailings? Could you possibly, does it just tell you to send a direct mailing to a specific list of prospects, or can you set it up and so if you have a deal with a printer, for example, in the mailing house, that they can be sent direct messages to send to prospects? How does that work?
Yep, either way you want, and it will do it by step within the sequence. So let's say you've got you've got a sequence that has two direct mail pieces in it. Let's say direct mail piece number one, you want to fulfill that in-house. So the system emails you or whoever you say within your organization is your fulfillment person, sends the list in a CSV format, and it also attaches the actual direct mail piece, so the Word document. You can then, it allows you to do like a one-click mail merge, and then you print it, stuff it, and send it. The way that we prefer to do it and we advise people to do it is to go out, at least here in the U.S., hook up with a local Office Max or UPS store, and they will do all of your printing for you. You know, you don't have to go to a big direct mail house to do it, because most of those guys don't understand sequential direct mail marketing. They operate off of volume. You know, they want, okay, you know, if you're not sending this piece to 100,000 people, we're not going to do it.
Right.
So we work with Office Max and with UPS stores, and what we do is, for that, let's say, direct mail piece number two, you set it up so that it gets sent to the UPS store, for example, and they'll set up a specific mailbox that you send to, and they just know, they get it, they get the email, it has the instructions in it, attach the fulfillment list, please send piece number 3A to the attached list, and if you have questions, call us, here's the number. So you can send instructions in that email, and it's all automated. So all of the direct mailing that we do, it just happens. And just like an autoresponder, it's timed to the person and when they opted in. Same thing with all the direct mail. It can be fully automated, and the pieces go out when they're supposed to and to whom they're supposed to go to.
That is awesome. When I was working with the printer here in town, we had some clients that wanted to do multi-steps like that, but didn't know how to do it. You know, we were looking at, you know, I was like, oh, no, we can do it if you do an output, you know, if you output the names to, you know, and email that to us, but it was a manual process.
This is fully automated. We do a lot of direct mailing and packets. When customers sign up, we send them a direct mail packet. When affiliates join, we send them a direct mail packet, and all that's automated. It just happens, and that's another huge benefit of automation is you don't have to hire bodies within the organization to do those manual tasks that typically require somebody to be there to do them.
That's very powerful. That's very powerful in the multi-step process.
Yeah.
Do you have any modules with sort of SMS or text messaging at the moment?
We don't yet, but our development team is looking into it heavily right now because I mean, our email, as you guys know, is such a mess right now, and it has been. Our deliverability fluctuates between, you know, 85 to 98, 99%, which is very solid. But, you know, we've got all kinds of IP blocks, and we're partnered with a company called Habeas, who was just acquired by ReturnPath. So we have dedicated certified IPs, and you know, our customers can opt in to get one of those dedicated certified IPs if they don't want to be commingled with other clients that are sending. So email is a big issue, and because of that, we're like, okay, what are other forms of marketing that need to be in the software? One is SMS. Another is some way to do RSS feeds. You know, have like a central page where you as the marketer post stuff, and people that subscribe to your RSS, it just, boom, goes right out to them without any problems, much like text.
That's amazing.
That's great. That's some pieces you've added. You've added some pieces to it since the last time I really seriously looked at it.
We just 3 weeks ago launched a new version and did a complete overhaul of the software, the user interface, the speed of it. We incorporated a lot of Ajax technology into the software, sped it up, and it's totally different now.
Okay. And is this all online software, Dave? Is it? Is there any or are there any desktop elements to this?
No, it's all web-based.
Oh, brilliant, yeah. Yeah, fantastic.
Yep. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
well, I'm one of the projects I'm looking at is I may be building a series of local directories here in Montana, because I'm in Montana, and along the way, part of what I'm going to do for marketing that is doing presentations on the power of local search and on online power of online marketing, and as I build the list, I might contact you guys about doing as I build it up. I wouldn't do this immediately, but down the road, have you guys come in and do a presentation to those same groups that I'm doing.
Sure.
Because that would be your target, the people that are starting to understand local, you know, local online lead generation and using online marketing. That group would be prime for you guys.
Yep, maybe that's our ideal group.
Yeah, that it'd probably be spring before anything like that had happened, but timing-wise,
that sounds good. There's a guy that you should go out and research who's done a lot of creating directories, online directories and stuff for local areas. His name's George Slater. He's a Brit, but he lives in Australia, and I'm trying to remember his website. He would be a great guy to copy, to grab his stuff, research how he's done it. He's been extremely successful with directory-related stuff. George Slater, what is his site? You know, I'll find his site, and I'll shoot it over to you.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, I'll be working with are you familiar with Jack Humphrey?
Yeah.
He is working with a bunch of guys, and they're going to put together the feeds and all the back end stuff, and we just have to do the front end sales.
Yep. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So, make the site local. Actually, have local flavor to it. But But I'm always open for other ideas. You know, Paul Myers is a big fan of using local portals as well as a great business model. So.
Yeah, there's another guy in the UK that has done something very similar, local portals and selling, advertising to local businesses. They can appear on the portal. Nigel Botterill, he launched, what is the name of his business? Why isn't it coming to me? I'll shoot his over to you, too. He has perfected that model. Yeah, that's another one you could totally just, you know, swipe and deploy.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I fully expect people to swipe my stuff. Well, actually, I don't because it's not that good yet. But it's getting better. I've had some direct mail campaigns, and I know that people all over the country are copying. And that one campaign I told you about, we did the multi-step campaign. We did it to introduce the Pearl campaigns, and we did a thing with the chocolate CD where people were asked what their favorite type of music, TV show, movie, and chocolate was when they went to the webpage. And in the second step, for those that had responded the first time around, was they got a CD tin with a chocolate CD. The flavor, the white darker chocolate, white milk or dark, based on their what they asked for, and if the label was based on the type of music they wanted, and then we went on from there and had a couple more steps, but that's what everybody talks about. I mean, the clients still have the tin sitting up in their offices, and you know, that's been a biggie. You know, and other people are like, I need to do the chocolates, Yeah, and other people are like, I need to do the chocolate CD. And it's like, well, you know, just the chocolate CD wasn't the kicker. You know, you need the whole campaign. And that happens so often. People pick up one piece of it and think, this is what I got to do. You know.
Yeah, and people get so worried about their stuff being swiped. And the truth is, competitors only see a portion of it. They'll see the chocolate CD, and they'll try and duplicate it, and they'll get terrible results, and they'll stop doing it. They don't recognize that this is one step of a 20-step sequence. And even the people that do recognize it's a 20-step sequence, they're not going to do it. Who wants to do all that work?
Well, I think that's the key. I mean, that's why it makes it so hard for your competitors to really reverse engineer when you do multi-step marketing, and also when you segment, because they may subscribe to your sort of, I don't know, your sort of section one of your marketing. Very broad catch-all, like an email autoresponder sequence or whatever, but they don't bother purchasing products or opting in for teleseminars or whatever and really getting drilled down into your funnel. And that's where people really, really mess up.
Are you guys going out to the Info Summit in St. Louis in November?
I'm not scheduled right now, but I might still get talked into it between now and then because, I've been wanting to go to one. I haven't made one yet, but, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Just checking. I'd love to meet you guys in person sometime, and that might be the place, but
if things open up, that'd be great. If not, I'm pretty confident I'll be, I don't know if it'll be you, but I'll have somebody coming up here to do a presentation next year sometime.
It'd
make a lot of sense for my clients and the people I'd be running into along the way. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, do you guys have my contact information in case, feel free to reach out to me for anything, if I can help you with whatever, just let me know.
Let me take it down so I have it. Do you want to just email it to me?
Yeah, you know what? Let me see if I've got your email here on this document that our PR firm sent over. You know what? I don't see it on there. Why don't you give it to me? I'll just shoot it to you guys.
Okay. It's Doug McIsaac, McIsaac, online for offline. Online with the number 4, offline.com.
Okay. All right.
And if you send out to Doug, then Doug can just forward it over to me. That might be easier.
Great.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Good deal.
That's it.
Well, great.
If I do come across clients that...
thanks for inviting me on.
Sort of CRM, I'll pass it over. Yeah.
I'm curious. It looks like somebody might still be listening in, which is all good. No, I think they just finally dropped off. Somebody was hanging out listening, I think, because they were still in the chat room. That's all right.
Fun commentary there.
Good deal. Yeah, but
if you guys need anything, just let me know. I'm happy to help out, and I really appreciate you guys inviting me on. That was fun.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
I had a good time, too.
Thanks very much.
It's like I was looking forward to this call. I look forward to all of them, honestly, but or else I wouldn't have them on the call. but I was actually looking forward to this one as well. So, all right. Well, I appreciate it, Dave. And
all right, guys.
Good. Take care.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Take care. Bye.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.